The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding sex, part two. The overview. Sexual lovemaking results in massively powerful spiritual forces, which are little understood and therefore largely ignored by all sides of the spectrum of believers and unbelievers. Sexual lovemaking was very carefully and thoughtfully crafted by the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and should therefore be treated with respect as a very precious gift. We will look at what should be done by a woman who discovers she has a virgin's covenant with a man other than the man she is living with as a partner. We will resume by looking at families with more than one woman. We will then discuss spiritual categories with regard to sex, followed by the age at consummation. We will then discuss divorce. We will then consider what is forbidden and what is not forbidden, i.e. what is permitted. We will then discuss other considerations, masturbation, pornography, etc. I will note that sexual technique is a paramount skill. I will finally present a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and a clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It is the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu. And podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. So we're continuing with the article 2021-1102, The Essence of My Message Regarding Sex, Part 2. We're going to talk about families with more than one woman. Father Yah created human beings with the capacity for one man to covenant with more than one woman. Sadly, very few women can handle this today. See the case studies for some examples where this has worked. In cases where such families exist, extremely powerful simultaneous orgasms between all partners are possible and desirable. Note that strictly speaking, in terms of overall laws of father, a man taking another woman is not a basis for divorce, although if there's a strong covenant agreement not to take further women, then there may be a basis for divorce. So there's a number of things here. There's a lot of wrong thinking that man can only have one wife, and it's wrong teaching in a number of religions. That said, as I said, few women today can handle it. In fact, few men can handle it either. As a basis for divorce, if a woman and a man covenanted before sexual consummation that he would not take more than one wife, then it's a basis for divorce. But if he was having sex with more than one woman at the time that he covenanted with his wife, there's no basis for divorce. And in fact, she may have covenanted into a, or consummated into a plural marriage situation. I want to talk a bit about spiritual categories with regard to sex. There are broadly a number of spiritual categories with regard to sex in the context of believers. A, men and women who gave and received the Virgin's Covenant, have never had extraneous sexual congress, and who have had powerful loving sex throughout their union. These families will be very strong and tend to be very prosperous. This happens very infrequently. B, men and women who entered into covenant after other sexual partners, but who consummated strongly, and who have a very strong sexual relationship. Also infrequent, but in extreme cases can be strong. See a few of the case studies at the end of this article. C, men and women who engage in fornication with multiple partners. They're constantly looking for what they are missing and never really form strong relationships. They will easily enter into new sexual relationships and generally respond favorably to any sexual approach. Often the case where first sexual encounters were casual with different partners at an early age. So three very distinct categories, and a few more I'll carry on with in a minute. Father intended us for a woman to give her virginity to a man that she would spend the rest of her life with in a loving, tender, caring marriage, union. I don't really like the word marriage because it's got so many wrong connotations, but a lifetime covenant union. That's the plan. That's the intention. That's what you should be aiming for your children if you didn't have it yourself. And if you had it yourself, you're very privileged and should be very grateful for it. Point number D, men and women who eschew sex and think it is dirty, and we're talking about believers here, who've locked on their sexual desire. These women will react very harshly and negatively to any form of sexual approach. These categories will respond very differently to others who seek to initiate a sexual connection with them. In principle, all believers should be category A and B, although many are in category D and will battle to form a deep covenant relationship. Any form of sexual approach, even at the most basic level, to a category D woman will be harshly rebuffed and may lead to complaints and even legal action. Note that with regard to so-called transgender, the gender that is recognized in heaven is the birth gender of each human being. Transgender is not recognized. For unbelievers, this is irrelevant. They can do what they like. So, folks, there's a strong piece about a lot of religious teaching which says that you should be, that people who are close to Father should be celibate, they should live in monasteries, nunneries, whatever, and they should not have sex. Father never intended it to be that way. Father created sex, folks. Why would he say, I've created sex, but if you want to get close to me, don't have sex? It doesn't make any sense at all, folks. Father created us to enjoy sex. He created sex to be something beautiful within a lifetime covenant relationship. I'm not talking about messing around. I'm talking about a lifetime covenant relationship with deep, passionate, caring lovemaking regularly, every day. That's the way he intended it to be. And you can do that and get close to him. Then the age at consummation. Father's original intent was for women to enter a lifetime covenant at puberty, or certainly the age at which they first become sexually aware. At most countries, this is now illegal, and it is undesirable because our society has not prepared women to lose their virginity at that age. Google reports that most men and women today lose their virginity at about the age of 17 to 18. The thing to note here is that our society, for the most part, condones loose sex at this age when young adults' hormones get out of control. The desirable state is firstly that teenagers are educated about the issues discussed here and encouraged and supported to wait until they find a suitable life partner. What I understand to be the ideal situation was described to me by an Orthodox Jewish friend many years ago, when he informed me that in his social setting, when a young man or woman reached the age of strong sexual urges, their parents would evaluate their social circle and look for a young man or woman who they considered as a suitable lifetime mate for their child. Once they'd identified someone, they would approach that person's parents, have a discussion, and if both sets of parents considered their teenagers suitably matched, they would arrange for the youngsters to meet and discuss their interests, etc., in the presence of a chaperone. If the young man and young woman both agreed that they could see themselves living with the other, then a wedding would be arranged within a few weeks, and the young couple would consummate and live with one or other set of parents. In this context, it is vital to understand that with a strong consummation, it is possible for just about any man and any woman to very successfully enter into a lifetime covenant relationship, i.e. marriage. This was Yah's intention from the beginning. The challenge is to find a person who is extremely well-suited and with whom there's a strong connection. Dropping in and out of failed sexual relationships is not Father's way. This would typically take place around the age of 18 in current society. In other words, as soon as it was legal. It is notable that a few of the case studies that result in enduring relationships occur when the woman is around this age. I recently connected with a school friend who married immediately after leaving school and who still had a very strong marriage 50 years later. In general, it was originally desirable for the man to be somewhat older than the woman, but in current circumstances, this is generally not possibly, certainly for a first wife. Folks, this is a big thing. I was on a Zoom call a couple of days ago with a lady in the States who has a 17-year-old daughter who is in a strong but chaste relationship with a young believing man. The daughter is believing. And I shared what I've just shared with you with her and advised that she should encourage them not to the thing you need to understand there is, let's take this young couple as an example. You don't want them to get into a place where they start messing around and then they have a quickie and she loses her virginity and then they feel guilty about it. So they go hands off for the next few weeks or the next few months, and then they get over it and their hormones take over again and they have another quickie and then they feel guilty about it. That's a recipe for a failed marriage. What I advised this mother to do is to say, right, have a discussion with them. As soon as the young lady is at the legal age where she can marry, let them get married. Let them live with you. The important thing, and we talked about this a couple of times in the last few weeks, is 7 days of consummation. So from the date that she gives her virginity, they should make love 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day for the next 7 days, passionately, caringly, which means they have to understand how to make love, which means they have to be educated in some shape or form, which is such a difficult thing to do in this age without getting them exposed to all sorts of wrong thinking. There's a book by a chap by the name of Alex Comfort called The Joy of Sex. I guess it's still available, probably available on Amazon. I haven't checked recently, which goes into sexual technique. It does so in a context of promiscuous sex, but if you take the promiscuous sex out of it, the rest of it is sound knowledge about how to have enjoyable sex. As I say, it's Alex Comfort is the author, and the book is The Joy of Sex. I read it many years ago, learned a lot from it. Although in those days I was not really actively serving Father, and I did that in the context of an unrighteous relationship. But it's so important, folks. If you are in a committed relationship as a believer and your sex life is not all that it ideally should be, worth getting that book, studying it, and putting a lot of it into practice. And just be selective. Leave out the bits that are a bit off the mark, that are adulterous, multiple partners, etc. Like that. Just take the technique and put it into practice. Then divorce. It's regrettably so that in this age, marriages do fail. And divorce is sometimes necessary. Note that where a believer is joined to an unbeliever, divorce is mandatory and is required by the Almighty Creator. This is not negotiable. It does not matter how good the marriage may be. The only exception is if the unbelieving spouse can be brought to belief fairly quickly. If consummation took place where there was multiple one-flesh bonds and covenant bonds with people who were not part of the union, then separation from the men or women who were illegal is required. If there was a weak consummation, such as a quickie, and then infrequent hasty sex, it is very likely the union will be weak and the probability of the union failing will be large. If there was a strong virgin consummation with strong one-flesh bond and strong seven-day lovemaking after consummation, the union is likely to be very strong and will stand no matter what comes. This is how things are intended to be. If the choice of partner is inappropriate intellectually, socially, etc., this may give rise to problems, so choosing the right partner before first intercourse is really important. I strongly advise that parents are involved to facilitate the right choices just discussed for youngsters who are becoming strongly sexually aware. If you've done everything possible to make your relationship work in terms of this article, and your current husband or wife refuses to work with you and do all necessary to make the relationship work powerfully, there may come a time when Father will condone divorce. I've come to understand that while Yah hates divorce, he will condone it after all reasonable attempts have been made to save the marriage. Folks, I spent the first few years as a believer in the paradigm of Yah hates divorce until he told me to get divorced and show me that my marriage was abusive and that my wife had betrayed me and all told it was a total mess. And then the church turned against me because I divorced and they didn't believe in divorce. But if there's a clear covenant and one partner breaks that covenant, then there's a basis to go before Father and ask for a divorce. If the relationship is abusive, there's a basis to ask Father for a divorce. If one partner is an unbeliever and the other is a believer, then the believer has an obligation, a duty before Father to get divorced. He doesn't want the temple of his spirit joined to an unbeliever who de facto is serving Satan, whether they like to believe it or not. So just be careful and thoughtful. If you're in a bad relationship and it doesn't look like there's any way out, then there's a possibility that Father will allow you to divorce. But you need to check it out. You need to do everything possible. So if you're a woman, you need to submit. If you're a man, you need to love tenderly. And so on and so forth. There's an article on the website on the Virgin's Covenant, the essence of my message regarding the Virgin's Covenant. Have a look. See all the default terms, etc., because you may inadvertently have broken the terms of that covenant. If you were joined to others, particularly if a woman was joined to another man before consummation, then you don't have a marriage anyway. It's an illegitimate, adulterous situation, and Father will require you to get legally divorced unless you can clean up. And again, there's an article in the essence of my message, Reseparation of Men and Women, that you can look at. Note that if you break off a relationship after significant positive lovemaking, it will be very painful. But provided you made absolutely certain this is the right thing to do, then sweat it out and look for someone else. If divorce or separation is necessary, see the message, the essence of my message regarding separation of man and woman. This is important. If you're a believer joined to an unbeliever and you've had a good sexual relationship, it is going to be difficult and painful to end that relationship. If you come from two very different backgrounds and you have a strong consummation, it probably won't matter about the backgrounds. If you come from different backgrounds and you have a weak sexual relationship, the probability is it's going to fall in a heap. If you both really work at the sexual relationship, you can turn that around. If one partner is really working hard and the other is not, there may be a basis for divorce in due course. You will have to go to Father for clear signs, for clear confirmation that he will permit you to divorce. And that's a whole different story that I'm not going to cover in this broadcast. The key thing is Father intended us to have loving, considerate, tender, beautiful unions, including a beautiful sexual relationship. And as I said just now, it's a lie that Father doesn't want you to enjoy sex. He wants you to have a fabulous sexual relationship. So what is forbidden? There's a lot of wrong thinking amongst believers with regard to sex in terms of forbidden acts, etc. The reality is that only certain relationships are forbidden, nothing else. So what is forbidden? Sex with animals is forbidden. Sex between men is forbidden. Sex by two or more men with the same woman at the same time or at different times is forbidden. Sex by a woman with multiple men at the same time or at different times, the corollary to the previous point, is forbidden. There are other relationships that were forbidden at the time of Moshe or Moses, but that was as a consequence of the degradation of human beings, not in terms of a commandment. Breeding between close relatives today frequently leads to DNA abnormalities and deformities and is therefore forbidden. Generally, this is illegal in most countries. Note that originally the children of Adam and Chava, Eve, had no choice but to marry brothers and sisters, and the children of Noah's sons had no choice but to marry brothers and sisters or first cousins. So while these relationships are now prohibited, they are not prohibited in the way that the forbidden items listed above, A to D, are prohibited. Folks, this is important. One of the anomalies of the people who call themselves believers today, that there's a strong antipathy towards homosexual men, men who have sex with men. Yet there's a tacit acceptance that women have multiple sexual partners before they settle down and get married, whatever married means when you've lost your virginity to a man that's not the man you're getting married to. So it's Father's intention for a woman to have only one partner in her life. It's Father's intention for a man to live together with every woman whose virginity he takes. It's his intention for a woman not to have sex with a second or third or fourth or fifth man. It's his Father's intention for a man not to have sex with a woman who's already had sex with another man, except when she's divorced or a widow. If you understand all of these things, it's very clear cut, it's very straightforward, and it's very elegant. There's a article on the website, The Essence of My Message with Regard to Men and Women. You might want to have a look at that. So the bottom line is there's a limited number of things that are forbidden. And as we'll see in a moment, this has nothing to do with the things that many religious people get involved in. So let's have a look at that. So what is not permitted? What is not forbidden? What is permitted? Any sexual act between consenting partners in a lifetime covenant relationship is not forbidden. Masturbation either way or jointly. Oral sex, fellatio, woman on man, cunnilingus, man on woman or woman on woman, oral sex is permissible and is actually highly desirable as part of the sexual repertoire and can give rise to strong love bonds if done tenderly. Anal penetration of the woman or stimulation of either anally is permissible. It's up to each partner. It's an aesthetic issue. It's not a commandment issue. Bondage and similar is not forbidden, but I strongly advise that it is not appropriate in a relationship seeking to serve Father. So if you've come out of an unbelieving situation, or even as a believer into bondage, etc., I would advise you to get past that. You know, it's written, love, you know, that a man should love his wife tenderly and give his life for her. The woman should submit to a man in everything. And that's not submission as in tied up and beaten and what have you. I cannot conceptualize how anyone would want to play bondage games. It just doesn't compute for me. If that's something that you find works for you, well, so be it. It's not forbidden, as in you'll get into trouble with Father when you get to heaven. As I've said several times before, all of this is about believing people. If you're not a believer, do whatever you feel like doing. It really doesn't matter. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to come before the judgment seat. You're not going to go to hell. Just make the most of it, because when you die, you're going to end up as a demon or an ancestor spirit on your rotting corpse or in the crematorium oven, or maybe you'll get lifted off your corpse and put onto somebody used, if you're a strong sinner, you might be used to torment somebody or something like that. So the key point that I'm making here is that there are some very specific things that are forbidden. In particular, having sex with a woman who has had sex with another man and who's not legally divorced in the court of heaven or truly a widow. And those are basically it. I mean, animals, etc., you're not going to go with. If you're a believer, man-on-man sex is forbidden. At the same time, it's not something that you should go and beat other people up about. It's their issue. They're going to go to hell and burn for a while and be tormented for a while for the length of time that they perpetuated their homosexual relationship. After that, they'll make it to heaven. So if they want to take the risk of a time in hell because they're deeply in love with each other, well, so be it. I would advise them just to stop having sex, repent of having sex, carry on living together because they've formed a love bond if they must. But just don't do the bit that's going to get you into hell. But it's a personal choice. It's not for somebody to go and have a big campaign about. There's a guy, I think, is in Canada who's campaigning about same-sex marriages and homosexual, and he's getting charged with hate crimes, etc. Folks, it's their issue. Just tell them the truth. If as a man you have sex with another man and you're a believer, you're going to go to hell for a season. Rather stop it, repent, turn around, and don't do it again. But if you want to accept that you're going to go to hell and make the most of it, and when you're in hell and suffering, just remind yourself that it was a conscious choice that you made. That's all there is to it. Then some other considerations, masturbation, pornography, etc. Masturbation is undesirable if it focuses on forbidden situations, but it's infinitely better than loose, uncommitted sex or sex with an unsuitable partner. Masturbation focusing on a specific person or specific photograph of a specific person will result in a weak one-flesh bond, but this can be relatively easily cut off. Pornography is also undesirable, but it is far preferable to make use of pornography, provided it is not focused on forbidden situations, than it is to engage in loose, uncommitted sex or sex with an unsuitable partner. Just on the pornography, I'm talking about pornos is fornication, graphy is pictures, images. I'm not talking about illegal acts. I'm not talking about grossly repulsive acts. I'm talking about videos or stills of attractive people in a sexual context. I am not advocating pornography, but I am saying to you that if you are battling to cope sexually as a believer and you're on your own and you don't have a suitable person to become a life partner, do not go out and release your sexual, pent-up sexual urges with a prostitute or somebody that you pick up in the pub. What am I saying? Specifically, if you're in a situation where you do not have a sexual life partner living with you and a strong and active sex life and you have sexual needs, do not go out and seek casual sex, one-night stands, dating, prostitutes, etc. Rather masturbate. And if you need to make limited use of pornographic material, preferably material with women only rather than women with men, even if you're a woman, then do it and ask Father to help you to find a suitable life partner. If you're a woman and you're a believer, there's a catch. There are roughly 7 times more women than believing women than believing men on the planet today. So as a woman, given that Father really does not want you joining yourself to an unbelieving man, you are going to have to do something to cope with your sexual needs. So you either just take care of them with masturbation, or you find another woman with similar needs and you enter into a lifetime sexual relationship with her. Also a believing woman, obviously. I'd like to think it goes without saying, but I suspect it needs to be stated. There is no reason why two or more believing women cannot live together in a lifetime sexual covenant relationship. Just that you'll have to take the bread and wine to enter into the covenant, because you can't cut covenant with penis in the vagina as in a man-woman situation. And remember, this is, again, not Father's ideal. His original intention was that seven women would covenant with one man and they would live together happily as a strong and powerful relationship, but the forces of darkness have totally messed that up. So it's very difficult for a man today to live with more than one woman without them tearing each other's eyes out or whatever. Dating is dangerous. Dating when one is sexually deprived will very rapidly result in sex, whether the other partner is a suitable, other party is a suitable life partner or not. If you are going to date, do so on a dating site where you can specify that your objective is a lifetime covenant relationship. Set out your beliefs and stress that you are looking for a believer of similar spiritual maturity to yourself, and that you will have detailed discussion of your interests, beliefs, and objectives in life in order to ensure you're compatible from the very first meeting. Do not continue meeting if your first meeting fails to establish a substantial common ground, and certainly do not mess around sexually unless you are certain this is for life. So you can go on a dating site, and I'll talk about that a bit more, but you can go on if you're going to go on a dating site, and today, ideally, you want to find somebody in the same assembly or the same church you're in. If you're a really committed believer, Father's probably taken you out of the church. So dating site may be the way to go. You really want to, then you need to put up a strong profile, which says, I'm a believer in the Creator. I have these sort of basic guiding principles. I'm looking for a man or woman, depending on which you are, who subscribes to the same principles. This is who I am. This is the type of work I have. This is the type of marriage I'm looking for. This is the type of commercial arrangement I'm looking for. Either you both support yourselves independently with your jobs, or the man supports the woman, whatever. Be very clear about it. When you talk and phone or Zoom or whatever, focus on establishing, is this a suitable life partner? If it's a suitable life partner, like the example with the young people, get together, consummate, spend 7 days consummating, and build a strong relationship. I want to stress that sexual technique is a paramount skill. I've increasingly come to realize that most people have very little instruction in the techniques of lovemaking, and particularly in how to engage in considerate, tender lovemaking coupled with multiple strong orgasms. Over the years, I've studied these techniques through various books, etc., albeit that I've not been very successful applying them in practice. I've concluded that education with regard to sexual technique is highly desirable before consummation. After much soul-searching, I've identified a few articles which are effectively case studies of what is possible and desirable. These are taken from an erotic literature website and are written from a worldly view of unbelievers who at some level have no difficulty with fornication. Note that Satan has corrupted the view of believers with regard to sex in order to deprive and weaken believers, but has left sex among unbelievers to reach its full potential in order to put another obstacle in the way of unbelievers coming to belief. These are presented in a separate article that is only available on request and should be read carefully and prayerfully, focusing on the techniques and attitudes that are described. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org for the link. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org, and I'll give that to you again at the end of this presentation. So, folks, it's a difficult thing, and I've agonized over what I say and what I don't say. The topic of my presentation today is sex. I don't want to go into explicit discussion because I don't know who's listening, and it might be taken in the wrong way and it might be used in the wrong way. So email me if you want to discuss this further and I'll help you. As I say, in terms of sexual technique, the book that I mentioned earlier by Alex Comfort is a useful reference, as long as you're selective about what you take from it. The Joy of Sex, and as I say, the articles that I'll share with you if you email me go into more detail in terms of technique, in terms of what's possible with a man and a woman, or a man and several women. I hope that through this article I've sensitized you to what is possible and intended. If you're in a lifetime relationship and you do not have a really good sexual relationship, by which I mean that you do not both have significantly strong sexual orgasms every time you make love, and make love 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, then you need to work on it. If your marriage, union, whatever, is a bit shaky and you don't have good sex, you need to work at it. Sex is the glue that Father created to hold a man and woman together, or two women together. If you have really good sex, it's very unlikely that you will end up dallying or leaving each other or getting divorced or whatever, because the love bond, the one flesh bond, and everything else will be so strong that you'll have no reason to go your separate ways. So as a postscript, the biggest error crippling believers, and I've presented this in detail a few months ago, it's on the website. And so as a codicil to this, please read The Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers on the website. It's towards the top of the menu. And in saying that, I want to make a couple of key points just to summarize. Number one, you're not a glove puppet. You are not being controlled and manipulated by Father Yah to do his will. He created you to take control of your life and to work things out yourself. He's not going to take control of your life, as so many people teach and believe. He created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness, not for him. He created you to be his friend, somebody to do things with, not some manipulated puppet. Folks, when you understand what I'm talking about, it's really, really silly. Yah created you to exercise your intellect and your ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It's a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. Folks, I can't stress this enough. I went for years praying, Father, lead me by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. And in the process, believing that that prayer was being answered, and making one stupid mistake after the other. Finally, I woke up to the fact that I was not a glove puppet, and that I'd made these mistakes in my own strength. And I've since taken charge of my life and in the process of straightening it out. So I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Think about it, folks. Why are you here? Why are we here? Why is this planet here? Why is this solar system here? Why is this galaxy here? Why is this universe here? Is it all just the result of some random, haphazard thing that created these highly sophisticated creatures called human beings? on this highly sophisticated planet, in this highly sophisticated solar system, and? I don't think so. We are here for one reason and one reason only. Father Yah was lonely, and he decided to create friends. In order to create friends, he had to create somewhere for them to live. So he created the universe, he created the galaxies, he created the solar system, the sun, this planet. He created an atmosphere on it. He put water and air on it. He put plants and animals on it. And then he put us on it, so that we could become his friends. Wrapping up, key documents and a video on the main menu, compendium of important articles, video on the second, on why seek relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components and drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity? The essence of my message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. And they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There's at least three podcast websites where you'll get the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. All of those are on the top line of the menu on the website. There's a lot of material there, over 2,500 articles in the articles database, over 1,000 web pages. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I hope what I said a few minutes ago about why we're here has got your attention. Father wants you, not the person to the right of you or the left of you or behind you or in front of you or whatever. Father wants you to become his friend. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white or whatever. Doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair or black hair, blue eyes or brown eyes. It doesn't matter whether you are a Jewish person or a Muslim person or a Hindi person or a Buddhist person or a Christian or whatever. Father wants you to become his friend. Doesn't matter whether you're a Satanist or a witch or a warlock. Father will take you out of all of that. He wants to become your friend. Doesn't matter your level of education. What he's looking for is you to say, Father Yah, James Robertson says I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Come and live in me. Come and guide me. Come and help me to become your friend. And then just do what you find to do. Contact me, email me. You've got my email address, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Goodbye.
Father, I come to you. I stand.